Welcome to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. I'm Christine Bruce, your grandmotherly accomplice for the next half hour. Tungsten broadcasts at the saddest hour on Wet'suwet'en territory through CICK 93.9 FM, stationed in a 100-year-old train car in Smithers, BC. I, too, am old, just a little older than my teeth, in fact. Quite old means I have quite the library, full of old books with instructions and recipes. Yep, I happen to know a lot about witches. In this episode, I'm going to share with you some tips on how to recognize a witch, but more importantly, how to get rid of one. So, let's go get into some enchanted mischief together. In every episode of Tungsten, I always start with why the topic I've chosen should matter. So why should it matter that we can recognize a witch? Well, more for the whimsical way you'd feel. But you know what else matters? That you can spot when someone needs tungsten. Over the course of the last 3 months, we've been slowly building tungsten in your blood, so you're stronger and more able to withstand your own troubles. You might, though, know someone else who needs a bit of extra help. One of my friends right now has cancer. Another young friend has had a stroke. Two more are dealing with later stages Alzheimer's disease. So all these people could use every ounce of good energy I can put out there. A sign I once read on a bicycle recommended, spread good vibes. I think that was good advice, don't you? When you've got tungsten in your blood, you're magic. Lately, my grandchildren have been asking for slightly more challenging children's books. In response, I've turned to chapter books for the eventual day when they want to hear a longer story. One of the authors with whom I've spent several evenings by the fire is Roald Dahl. My breakfast friend Pam recommended I read Dahl's The Witches. The Witches is one of Roald Dahl's classic stories, where an orphaned boy and his wise Norwegian grandmother defeat the Grand High Witch and her followers. During the struggle, the boy gets turned into a mouse, but he and his grandmother use this to their advantage. I'm going to include some clips from a BBC radio drama adapted by Lucy Catherine and featuring Margaret Tysak, Peter Mariker, and Toby Jones as the narrator. In this segment, we're going to share how to spot a witch.
The Witches by Roald Dahl, dramatized by Lucy Catherine. Part 1.
In fairy tales, witches always wear silly black hats and black cloaks, and they ride on broomsticks.
Grandmama, I can't sleep.
Come and sit by the fire, my darling. I've something important to tell you.
But this story is not a fairy tale. This story is real.
It's time you knew something about witches.
Witches aren't real.
They most certainly are. But they dress in ordinary clothes, and they live in ordinary houses. There could be one living next door right now.
My grandmother was Norwegian. She lived in an old house deep in the countryside. The Norwegians have always known about witches, for Norway, with its black forests and icy mountains, is where the first witches came from.
Are you being truthful, Grandmama?
This is the gospel truth, my boy. And I'm telling you for your own good. You won't last long in this world if you can't spot a real witch. Now, pass me a cigar.
She was the only grandmother I ever met who smoked cigars.
Witches hate children. Their only passion is to do away with them, one by one.
But this story does not begin with my wonderful grandmother in Norway.
A story will help us both to forget our sadness.
And the best stories are about witches.
A real witch has magic in her fingers and devilry dancing in her blood.
Real witches.
Her mind is always churning and burning and whizzing and fizzing with murderous bloodthirsty thoughts. Witch child. Exactly which child shall I choose for my next squelching?
You said her, Grandmama.
There is no such thing as a male witch. A ghoul is always male. So is a Barghest, but a witch is always a woman. Not everyone knows how to spot a real witch.
But they're not real, are they?
Yes, they are.
Maybe a long time ago, but not anymore.
Quite the opposite. They are all around us. Now listen to me, remember everything I tell you, then cross your heart and hope for the best. And put another log on the fire, will you? There's a chill in the air.
My grandmother is tremendously old. I used to be made to have a bath every other night. Now I only have one on the first of the month.
Can you always be sure who is a witch?
No, you can't. But you can make a pretty good guess.
How?
In the first place, a real witch is certain to be wearing gloves when you meet her.
Not in the summer, it would be too hot.
Even in summer, she has to.
Why?
She doesn't have fingernails. Instead, she has thin, curvy claws like a cat, and she wears the gloves to hide them.
Mum used to wear gloves?
Not in the house. Witches wear gloves, even in the house. They only take them off when they go to bed.
How do you actually know all this, Grandma?
Now, don't interrupt. Concentrate. The second thing to remember is that a real witch is always bald.
Bald?
Bald as a boiled egg. Take it from me, not a single hair grows on a witch's head.
Oh, that's horrible.
Disgusting.
Still, it must make them easy to spot.
Oh, not at all. She wears a first-class wig, and it's almost impossible to tell a really first-class wig from ordinary hair.
So that doesn't help much either.
Not really. Now, mind you, these wigs do cause serious problems for witches.
What's that?
The underneath of a wig is always very rough and scratchy. It sets up a frightful itch on the bald skin. Wig rash, they call it.
Is there anything else to look out for?
Nose holes.
Nose holes?
Witches have larger nose holes than ordinary people.
Why?
To smell you with. A real witch has the most amazing scent or smell. She can actually sniff out a child who is standing on the other side of the street on a pitch black night. Now, out you get. I'll hold out the towel for you.
A witch couldn't smell me. I've just had a bath.
Oh, yes, she could. The cleaner you happen to be, the more smelly you are to a witch.
What?
You see, it isn't the dirt the witch is smelling. It's you oozing out of your skin in waves. And these waves, stink waves, the witches call them, go floating through the air and hit the witch right smack in her larger-than-average nostrils. They send her reeling. Now, get your pyjamas on and come and sit by the fire.
There are any witches around?
Who can say?
Am I giving out stink waves?
Not to me, you aren't. To me, you are smelling like raspberries and cream. But to a witch, you would be smelling absolutely disgusting.
What would I be smelling of?
Dog's droppings.
Dog's droppings?
Fresh dog's droppings.
I never want to have a bath again.
Just don't have one too often.
I love you, Grandmama.
And I love you.
Grandmama?
Yes, my darling?
Can a witch smell the difference between a child and a grown-up?
Grown-ups don't give out stink waves. It's getting late.
I'm not tired.
It's past your bedtime.
Tell me how else to recognise a witch.
The eyes.
The eyes?
Look in the middle of each eye, where there is normally a little black dot. If she is a witch, the black dot will keep changing colour. And you will see the fire and ice dancing right in the centre. It will send shivers running all over your skin.
Are there other things?
The feet. Witches never have toes. They have feet with square ends.
It must be difficult for them to walk.
Just as a witch hides her baldness with a wig, she must also hide her ugly witch's feet by squeezing them into small pointed shoes.
That must hurt.
She has to put up with it.
If she's wearing ordinary shoes, how can I recognise her?
You might possibly see her limping very slightly if you are watching closely. There is one more difference.
What is it?
Their spit is blue.
Blue?
Blue as a bilberry.
Like ink?
Exactly. They even use it to write with. They use those old-fashioned pens that have nibs. and they simply lick the nib.
If a witch was talking to me, would I be able to notice this bit?
Oh, you might see a slight bluish tinge on her teeth, but it doesn't show much.
It would if she spat.
Witches never spit. They daren't.
I am watching my grandmother's face carefully. There is no hint of a smile, no twinkle in the eye. She is deadly serious.
Remember a couple of months ago I recommended you open your home to a bunch of friends and have a pizza party? Where you build that puppy yourself? Well, next I want to share another recipe with you. This recipe is for Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker, a bottle of which contains 500 doses. We're going to brew up something that the witches thought would get rid of every child everywhere. But the boy and his grandmother used it against them. So get your recipe card ready. Here's the brew for Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker.
How do we make it? Oh, brilliant one!
Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker is a green liquid. One droplet in each chalk will be quite enough. So, child comes to great gala opening of sweet shop. Child eats chalk. Child goes home feeling fine. Then goes to bed, still feeling fine. Child wakes up in the morning and goes to school, still okay. Formula, you understand, is delayed action and is not working yet.
But when does it start working?
It is starting to work at exactly 9 o'clock when the child is arriving at school. Child starts to shrink. Child is starting to grow fur. Child is starting to grow tail. All is happening in precisely 26 seconds. 26 seconds later, child is not a child anymore. It is a mouse.
A mouse!
I will now give you the recipe for concocting Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker. Get out pencils and paper. First, I need something that would cause the child to become small very quickly. For this, we must be looking at him through the wrong end of a telescope. Take one wrong end of telescope and boil it until it gets soft. 21 hours of boiling.
And the one next to anyone?
Take exactly 45 brown mice and chop off their tails. Fry the tails in hair oil on a low heat until they are crisp. So far, I have only told you the easy part of the recipe. The real problem is to find an ingredient that will have a delayed action result.
Well, tell us the secret!
The secret is an alarm clock. You set a 24-hour alarm clock today, and exactly 9 o'clock tomorrow, it will go off.
But we will need 5 million alarm clocks, one for each child.
Idiots! One clock is enough for 1,000 children. You set your alarm clock to go off at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Then you roast it in the oven until it is crisp and tender. Put everything in a mixer. Add the yolk of a gruntul's egg, the claw of a crab cruncher, the beak of a blabbersnitch, the snout of a grobble squirt, and the tongue of a cat springer. I trust you are not having any trouble finding those.
Oh, none at all.
None. Sit down. It comes to me that you ancient ones will not be able to climb high trees in search of Gruntul's eggs or sprint after the speedy cat springer. So, I have prepared personally with my own hands a limited quantity of Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker, which I will distribute to all the ancient ones before I leave the hotel.
She holds up a tiny dark blue bottle.
This bottle contains 500 doses, enough to turn 500 children into mice. Each of the ancient ones will get 2 bottles.
Oh, thank you, most generous one!
Our meeting is over!
Not interested in brewing Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker? Maybe you're not even into brewing any drinks. Well, in Smithers, you're in luck, because we've got the Smithers Brewing Company. Smithers Brewing Company offers 4 mainstay beers and 4 seasonal beers on rotation. And if beer's not for you, they also offer a cider and an in-house brewed kombucha. May I recommend a couple of my favorites, the Tree's Knees if you like it dark, or the Powder Hound for those who like lighter, and Powder Hound is in support of the Northwest Animal Shelter. Smithers Brewing Company is a timber-framed brewery in a kick-ass town in northern BC, making the best beer they possibly can, and we love them and their sponsorship of CICK a lot. Cheers! This next tip is for anyone who's ever done any knitting or crochet work. You almost always have leftover yarn. And if you're like me, you sometimes have projects you never finish. Well, Roald Dahl has a terrific suggestion for what to do with those unfinished projects, especially if you have small children turned into mice who need to sneak into a hotel room that's one floor below you through their balcony.
I've got it!
Grandmother rushes back into her room and begins rummaging in a chest of drawers.
Found it!
She comes back with a ball of blue wool. One end of it is attached to some knitting needles and a half-finished sock she's been making for me.
This is perfect. I shall put you in the sock and lower you down onto the Grand High Witch's balcony. But we must hurry. Any moment now that monster will be returning to her room. In you go.
She pops me in the sock.
Are you ready?
Ready.
Good luck, my darling.
And lowers me over the balcony. I crouch inside, holding my breath.
You're nearly there.
The sock is swinging about in the breeze.
Hold on. It's a bit windy.
Nearly there.
There you go. Gently does it. You're down.
I wouldn't call that gentle.
In you go. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Search the room.
On my way.
The Grand High Witch's bedroom has the same musty smell about the place I had noticed in the ballroom. The smell of witchery. But I don't see anything suspicious.
It looks like an ordinary bedroom.
Grab the stuff. Get out!
If you were the Grand High Witch and you wanted to hide something top secret, where would you put it?
I jump onto the bed to get a better view of the room.
Under the mattress?
Very carefully, I lower myself over the edge of the bed and worm my way underneath the mattress.
It's dark under here. I can't see a thing.
I hit my head on something hard. I reach up and feel it with my paw.
A little bottle. And another one. Lots of little bottles.
Walking backwards and dragging the bottle behind me, I manage to reach the edge of the mattress. I roll the bottle off the bed onto the carpet. It doesn't break.
Formula 86 Delayed Action Mouse Maker. This bottle contains 500 doses. Eureka! I found it, Grandmama!
Come on then, darling.
At that moment, the door bursts open.
Oh, thank goodness that is over.
Hurry up, my darling. You better come out quickly.
Who's calling?
Oh, no.
The Grand High Witch strides across the carpet.
Who is making such a noise? Who is it? Who dares to trespass on my balcony?
She goes out onto the balcony itself.
What is this knitting wool hanging down here?
Oh, hello!
Who are you?
Oh, I just dropped my knitting over the balcony by mistake. But it's okay. I've got hold of one end of it. I can pull it out by myself. Thank you all the same.
And who are you talking to?
Oh, I was just talking to my little grandson. He's been in the bathroom and it's time he came out. He sits in there reading books and forgets completely where he is. Do you have children, my dear?
I do not!
She comes back into the bedroom, slamming the balcony door behind her.
Now I'm stuck.
What is it now?
It is 6 o'clock.
We have come to collect the bottles that you promised us, oh, your grandness.
I watch her feet walking across the carpet. They look like ordinary feet.
Come in. Do not stand there dithering in the corridor. I don't have all night.
Thank you, your grandness, thank you.
This is my only chance. I jump out from behind the bedpost and run like lightning towards the open door. I jump over several pairs of shoes on the way, and in 3 seconds I am out in the corridor, still clutching the precious bottle to my chest.
No one saw me.
I scamper up to the fifth floor and the door of my own bedroom. Using the bottom of the little bottle, I tap on the door.
Grandmama, it's me. Let me in.
Oh, you escaped. Quick, come inside.
I've done it. I've got it, Grandmama. Look, here it is. I've got a whole bottle of it.
My darling boy, I thought I'd never see you again. I'm so happy you got away.
Grandmother picks me up and puts me on the table.
How did you get out of the room?
I shot out as the witches were coming in. It was a close call. I wouldn't want to do it again.
Online, I discovered a lot of fantastic facts about Roald Dahl as published by BBC Newsround. He invented more than 500 new words and character names. He wrote most of his books in his garden shed. I like this fact especially because it means you don't have to have a fancy office to do excellent work. And Roald Dahl fought in World War II and was a spy. I wonder what his wallet litter looked like. Speaking of spies, I always considered myself pretty skilled at finding the best hiding places. In The Witches, Dahl offers an entertaining suggestion for those of us who are very small, like mouse-sized.
Ready, steady, whee! Now we'll just jump across there. Whee! It's great being a mouse.
I'm having so much fun, I forget something important. I should be keeping out of sight.
I can do somersaults and backflips and...
A mouse! Look at that, dirty little mouse.
Uh-oh.
Kill it! That's
a big noise. Coming up there.
Ow!
Kill it!
I'm falling! Help!
Catch it quick!
Ow!
Step on it!
Got to run!
I twist and turn and dodge and swerve across the kitchen floor. And then...
Get it!
Hide!
I run up the inside of the cook's trouser leg and cling to his sock.
Hey, he's got up my trousers! Slug him to death!
I'm going to get smashed if I don't move. And the only way is up.
Oh, he's running up my leg!
Gotta get out of here!
He's in my knickers! Oi! Oh! Help! He's running around in my flaming knickers! Get it out! Somebody help me get it out! Take off your trousers!
This is not a good place to be!
Get them off! Little swine!
Drop your pants and we'll soon catch him!
No, man wasn't here!
I find the top of the other trouser leg. I go down it like waist lightning.
I'm on the floor.
Before anyone sees me, I dive into a sack of potatoes and hide, trying to get my breath.
You've taken your trousers off. He's not in there.
Well, he was.
There's no mouse in your trousers. Look.
I swear he was in there.
He was only a mouse anyway. What a lot of fuss about nothing.
Have you ever had a mouse in your trousers?
No, but then I don't usually work in the kitchen wearing only my pants.
I have to get back to Grandma.
Get over there.
2B specials are table 6.
You know me well enough by now to know that I'm an inveterate researcher. There are times when I find Roald Dahl's work a little harsh. When I ask my parent friends how their children feel about some of the more disturbing scenes, they admit that this work isn't for the sensitive personality. Online, I found a site where someone suggested that the moral of The Witches was that we need to explain to our children that most people are good, but that they must be careful around people they don't know. To use one of Roald Dahl's colorful words, in my opinion, that's Tommy Rot. Of the main characters, Matilda, Sophie in the BFG, and the unnamed boy in The Witches, none of those characters lacked confidence around strangers. They were all remarkably confident with people, so I don't think to be cautious around strangers was Roald Dahl's message at all. I want to tell you a story. When my daughter was 3, she was quite gregarious and also tuned into how people were feeling. One day, we were walking hand in hand along a sidewalk in downtown Kingston, Ontario, heading to a farmer's market. Kingston is an older city, where the original architecture often includes recessed entryways to businesses, with lovely alcoves and limestone stoops. They're pretty. Imagine an older homeless man sitting on one of these stoops, which is temporarily shaded and a good height off the ground for holding your dejected chin in your hands. Got it? I'm sure he felt he was out of the way, and maybe even invisible, so he could relax in a pretty, shaded spot for a few minutes of peace. My mind was on our shopping adventure, but my daughter's attention had shifted to this sad fellow we were passing as we walked, and to my discredit, I hardly noticed him. My 3-year-old daughter let go of my hand and sat down beside this fella, put her chin in her hands as a sign of empathy. "Hello, Grandpa," she commented. "How are you?" And then she let out a big sigh. That would have been almost 30 years ago, at about the time when people were less likely to let their kids out to play unaccompanied. Parents were being taught to teach their kids to be cautious of strangers. Stranger danger, I think it was called. Now, we didn't buy into that, obviously, but I was really surprised at my daughter's reaction. And so was the homeless man. His face changed dramatically from dejected and lonely to surprised, and then to horrified in about 5 seconds. He looked up at me, fearful that I might accuse him of something awful. Instead, I chuckled and smiled encouragingly. "How are you?" I nodded at her, suggesting he just go along with it. He looked into her eyes, and it was like a big weight had suddenly been set aside. For a couple of minutes, that mystical adventure between a senior and a child was played out in a simple conversation about the weather, the market, and how they each were feeling. And then she stood up and sighed again. "Well, Grandpa, I have to go. See you later," she promised. And you know, I kind of hoped we would. What a lesson my daughter taught me that day. It's never wrong to be kind. No surprise, my favorite part of this book is the relationship between the boy and his grandmother. It's a pretty special relationship, where by virtue of your age and your role, not having to be the disciplinarian, and if you're in tight with the family, you can see ways to spoil lovingly, you just can't lose. Roald Dahl's story, The Witches, ends exactly as I would like a conversation around the fire to go with my grandchildren.
Before long, we're in Norway again, in my grandmother's fine old house. It is lovely. We soon settle in, and I spend the evenings sitting on her lap by the fire like old times. We keep entirely to ourselves, and we're very happy in each other's company.
Can I ask you something, Grandma?
Of course.
As the flames flicker in the grate, I look up at her wrinkled face.
How long does a mouse live?
I've been waiting for you to ask me that.
Go on then, tell me.
I'm afraid a mouse doesn't live for very long.
How long?
Well, an ordinary mouse only lives for about 3 years. But you are not an ordinary mouse. You are a mouse person, and that is a very different matter.
How long does a mouse person live?
Almost certainly 3 times as long. About 9 years.
That's the best news I've ever had.
Why do you say that?
Because I would never want to live longer than you. I couldn't stand being looked after by anyone else. How old are you, Grandmama?
I'm 86.
Will you live another 8 or 9 years?
I might, with a bit of luck.
Then we can both die together.
That would be perfect. Shall I tell you something about yourself that is very interesting?
Yes, please.
The heart of a mouse, that means your heart, beats at a rate of 500 times a minute. That's nearly 9 beats every second.
That's incredible.
It's a sort of miracle. Your heart is going so fast, it's impossible to hear the separate beats. All one hears is a soft humming sound.
Have you ever heard my heart humming, Grandmama?
Often. When you are lying close to me on the pillow at night.
My grandmother picks me up from the table and kisses me on the nose.
Oh, my goodness. We're going to be busy these next few weeks and months and years.
I think we are. But what fun and excitement it's going to be.
You can say that again.
I can't wait to get started.
Are you being really truthful?
It's the gospel truth, Grandmama.
Are you sure you don't mind being a mouse for the rest of your life?
I don't mind at all. In fact, I'm happy being a mouse.
And why is that?
Because I've got you, Grandmama. It doesn't matter who you are or what you look like, so long as somebody loves you. Now, shall we write down that recipe?
In part two of The Witches by Roald Dahl, dramatised by Lucy Catherine, Boy was played by Ryan Watson, Grandmother by Margaret Tysack, The Grand High Witch by Amanda Lawrence, and the narrator was Toby Jones. Bruno Jenkins was played by Jordan Clark, Mr. Jenkins by Ben Crow, Mrs. Jenkins by Rachel Atkins, and the waiter was Ben Unwukwe. The director was Claire Grove.
You've been listening to Tungsten, Bulletproof Hacks for the Moth-Eaten. Tungsten is produced by Christine Bruce, air through CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, BC. Available anytime at smithersradio.com or anywhere you get your podcasts. I'm going to let you in on a secret. You too can access my library, where lots of these stories are shelved. Visit archive.org anytime and you too can read Roald Dahl's wonderful stories. The Witches is an excellent cure for sadness. But I also really enjoyed the BFG and Matilda. Lots of noodling with words, super outcomes for misunderstood and overlooked children, and total whimsy. I highly recommend Roald Dahl. In case you need a little fix this week, I'll leave you with one more life hack. You're magic, but you know, if you're sending out good vibes to people who need it, I bet there are others sending good vibes out to you too when you need it.